This is Gary Butterfield.
This is Cole Rouse.
And this is Monster in My Podcast.
And these are the Ahais.
There's a monster in my podcast.
Ahai.
Hi. Ahoy, hoy. These are Martians, but not.
Yes, like, these are not Mars Attacks Martians.
Like, if you, there were two, you know, sentient races on Earth, and one of them were called the Earthlings, and the other one had to be called, like, Zip Zops. You know, or something like that. One of them gets the planet.
Yeah.
The other one are these guys.
Yeah, and, like the ones that get the planet, we don't know what they are. They're not present here.
They're referenced in this kind of, like, supplementary material that shows up, but we don't actually get their stats.
Right.
Instead, it's these guys who are tall men with weird kind of multi-jointed limbs.
Sunken eyes.
Yep, sunken eyes that look like skulls. They have tiny little red bits, like a little red dots in the middle of their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And they wear this circlet around their neck.
Right, but generally they are nude, as is their custom.
Yes, it's like the bad guys from Penumbra 2.
Right.
And these are the good guys.
Yeah, so mainstream Ahai culture, they live in these underground cities, but generally they're peaceful. Most of them are not necessarily fixed on conquest, like the Martians are, the capital M Martians, or kind of these cultists of Volthoom that exist as pariahs.
Yeah, and that's the kind of the hook here, is that there are the normal Ahais who we, you know, Earthlings become friends with, and they have these beautiful cities with these great gardens. And we're going to get to a theme in this book, which is the kind of overstatement, because it's filled with plants and animals that are not seen on Mars.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's exactly where they're seen. Because that's what you just told me, Clark Ashton Smith. They're filled with these beautiful gardens, and Earthlings are friends with them. However, in the distant past, there was like a sect that splintered off from these other Ahais who worship this great old one named Volthoom, which we'll get to.
Yes.
In the kind of 3.5 season of this. And what's really cool, the kind of world building in this, is that the Volthoom lost and became driven underground in these gigantic complexes where they sleep for thousands of years at a time.
Right.
And the mythology has changed so that on the surface, their gigantic city, Ravormos. Ravormos is considered Martian hell. and Volthoom is the devil in their mythology. Like, it's actually this weird alien god that's still planning to take over Earth.
Mm-hmm.
But so many, you know, thousands of years have passed that on Mars, you know, they just can, that's their word for hell.
Yeah. It's interesting to be talking about a creature in this mythos that exists on a time scale similar to ours, because, you know, a thousand years is enough time for something that happened to become myth, right?
Mm-hmm.
For, you know, for it to change language. Like, we still refer to Bedlam, right?
Yeah. And just having the player having that kind of insider knowledge, and the characters or the people in the world not having that, is very cool, because mm-hmm. that'd be a fun thing to discover.
Yeah.
You know, this is some real classic Call of Cthulhu shit, where, you know, you're investigating and you see, like, oh, this word actually, you know, make a research role on the origins of that word.
Yeah.
And then you find out this thing and find out about this cult.
And they went to sleep 999 years ago. Oh, no. Like, there actually is going to be a reckoning as they get up and set about their machinations beneath the sea, right?
Yeah, yeah. They pop in their 900 years, 90 years, and 9 years cart before they do this. And the evil versions of them are armed with Volthoom gave them weapons, which, like, that happens a lot in this game, and it's always funny to me that great old ones give weapons. The thing is, because, can you imagine, like, you're a cultist and you go into your basement and you draw your pentagram and you blood the drain of, like, the six youngest virgins in town into a goblet, and everyone has to drink until they puke, and then, like, you know, they feed that to a dog that then goes and, like, shits in a circle, and then you light a candle and put that circle in there, and you do all those things, and then, like, you know, a inky eye opens on the wall, and you just see from the middle distance this, like, tentacled mass slowly coming towards you, and then it hands you, like, a bat. Like, it just hands you a steel, like, you know, one of those, like, aluminum bat with, like, maybe one dent in it already, and then just leaves.
Yes,
you know.
we have been granted, we have been blessed with the mighty Aris. Hey, dude, that's an AR-15.
Yeah, exactly. yeah, there's an assault rifle 15, oh, you know, and then you have your assault rifle 15 and that's it, you know, like it's very weird how often these gods arm their followers,
yeah,
like not with magic, well, just like straight up weapons.
Yeah. Like artifacts. And this is pretty great because I referenced Mars Attacks earlier, and this seems like something that is absolutely out of it. This conical disintegrator gun, literally called a disintegrator gun, that obliterates material and creates wounds that cannot heal.
Yeah. Yeah. Again, that intense harshness.
Yeah.
You know, one of the things that's cool, you know, that just so you can understand these entries more and for people who are reading along, it's very hard to hit in Call of Cthulhu. Like they make, attacks difficult to land. So their stat for that is 20%. They only hit 1 out of 5 times. And you have a chance to dodge that as well. It just, they make the consequences extremely huge.
Yeah.
So like, just imagine like, oh, these hit points just don't heal. Yeah. You know, you lose constitution and appearance as well. So they do it to scar you.
Right. You know? So yeah. What happened to Reginald? Oh yeah. I lost his ear. Like yeah. To a disintegrator gun. It's fucked up.
To a sleepy cult, you know, when they talk about them sleeping before they mention 1,000 years, they just say that they operate on cycles of sleep and wakefulness. And I was like, yeah, that's not that impressive. I too like the Ahais beneath the surface of Mars.
Yeah.
Operate on a cycle of sleep and wakefulness.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so now I know how to put that into the Monster's Manual for Gary Butterfield.
That's a, yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, you summon me through those ritual I mentioned earlier. That's to be the exact same thing. And then I spring up through the middle of that pile of dog shit and I give you a nerf blaster.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Nerf 6 shooter, like the mega strike,
the renegade.
Like, yeah. Renegade's a good nerf gun name.
Yeah. Love that.
That's pretty good. Is it like we could do like a game where you have to decide if something is a nerf gun or a shotgun in Mass Effect and which one it is. Yeah. The renegade, the you know, debilitator. I guess that there probably wouldn't be the debilitator.
Yeah, well, what happened to Reginald? Yeah, he got shot by the debilitator. Like a Martian gun?
Yeah.
No, it was Nerf. He got it at Toys R Us before they closed.
Yeah, started selling the secret stock.
Brought to you by our backers at patreon.com/duckfeedtv.